about all the things.
Grace, what's your favorite vegetable?
Oh, there's so many good ones. I can't choose a favorite vegetable. That's not even right.
Can. Yeah, you can. Just choose one. Don't be stupid.
That's a stupid question.
You're stupid. Just answer it.
Oh, no, I don't want to. I really like cucumbers with a little bit of salt on them.
Huh. Do you do cucumbers in like Italian dressing ever? That's good.
It is. My belly is very particular and it doesn't love Italian dressing.
All right. What's your favorite cooked vegetable?
Ooh, I love some good collard greens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Good answer.
I grew up with a lot of Southern cooking. So.
Cool. Uh-huh. All right. I'll keep the question.
You're not going to answer? Come on now. No. I'm going to give you the same. No. Let's do this. What's your favorite fruit?
Probably a good mango. That's got to be a good mango.
Yeah. Mango's a good one.
But I'm a fruit monkey. Like if it's good fruit, like a good cantaloupe, good watermelon, good apple. Whew, yeah. It excites me.
Yeah. Do you do any cooked fruits?
Cooked fruits?
Yeah.
Like what? Give me one example.
Roast up some peaches, some pears, put them on the fire.
A good peach does not need any roasting love. It's all about, quality fruits.
A little bit of brown sugar and some walnuts on top. Yum, yum, yum.
A good peach does not need any added sugar. Gosh, Grace, come on now. Okay. All right. No, that's a good question, though. Best fruit. What's your favorite fruit? Cooked peaches?
I don't know. Strawberries. Strawberries. A strawberry.
Most of the time from the store, they just taste like junk, but a good
they strawberry. Do. But if you get a good strawberry, it is delicious.
Yeah, they all are.
Snozzberries. Do you like snozzberries?
No, let's not go take this any farther. I think we have a show to do. You want to do the show?
Yeah, let's talk about running.
All right, Grace, tonight's guest does not settle with failure and disappointment, and I think you'll agree. So let's talk all about it on episode 63.
Woo-hoo! I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right. Business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Pew, 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 pew. Oh, man. How was your weekend, Grace?
My weekend was good. I did, Jason and I did some cleanup at a local creek. I got a gift card for the largest metal item found. I found a piece of guardrail. So we drug that thing out of the creek and, did some hiking, did some hiking and walking with Lacey on Mother's Day. And our mutual friend, Barb, who we call Miss America, we thought that she needed a new yard flag. And cause her yard flag, do you know what a yard flag is? A garden flag?
I'm guessing a flag you put in your yard.
Yeah. So it's like, there's a little hook and you can change the flag depending on the season. So hers says live, laugh, love.
Aww.
Which is a great message. But we thought a nice little photo of Nicolas Cage would be better.
Obviously. Yeah.
Right. So we changed it for her.
That's so nice of you.
While she wasn't home.
Oh, well, that's just ironic, but I'm sure she would approve.
It turns out she's not a big fan of Nicolas Cage. We may or may not have known that already. And, but it was fun.
I mean, he's done great work. I don't know what she promised. National Treasure? I mean, come on.
Oh, it was so the photo is from Con Air.
Oh, that's a classic.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pretty badass in that movie.
put down the bunny.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Nothing crazy happened. I think I got out for a run. Yep. Got out for a run Saturday, and Lauren had a track meet Friday pretty late. So we didn't get home till later. Sunday weather kind of sucked, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Yep. So we have, you want to talk about our guest already, or you want to talk about any of those things?
Yeah, let's talk about our guest already, because there were, as we talked about before in a previous episode, there are a lot of FKT attempts, big effort attempts that are happening right now. Springtime is a great time for that kind of stuff. And so we have a good friend of the show, Trail Mama. She is out on the Appalachian Trail right now. So she's working on a through hike. She's working on doing the entire thing. I have an adventure coming up soon that I'm nervous about. And Jordan Copenhaver just finished up his, we had him on the show before, and he talked about his attempt for completing the Pennsylvania AT section, and he didn't make it before, but he did this time. And so we're having him on the show to talk about his crazy adventure.
Yeah. And I mean, he is our first double or second booking guest, right? Officially.
This third? He's our first number three.
You've been on three times? What the heck?
You gotta all stop right. Having me.
The first, okay, so it was the first time to talk about your AT attempt. The second time was after you
did Eastern States.
Yeah, Eastern States last year.
Wow. We need to get him a medal or something like
that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's impressive. Wow. You better keep doing some huge stuff to keep the streak going, because no one else is even close to you right now.
Three-peat. He's a three-peat.
So, I mean, Jordan just finished the AT through Pennsylvania. I hate the word fail, but you did not complete it a couple months ago. What month was that?
March? It was February.
February.
Yeah, early February.
Early February, you went on out to do the same thing, and you did not come, you got off the trail and decided to stop. And you quickly decided that you were going to do it again. You knew some things you needed to change and, you know, fix up a little bit. And then you just went out this past week. When did you finish? How many days?
Yeah, it was last Monday, right before 9 a.m.
Okay. So you finished last Monday and you completed the trail, and you are the third fastest person to complete the Appalachian Trail through Pennsylvania.
Unsupported, right? Unsupported, yeah.
Unsupported, which is a very important tagline to add to that.
Yeah.
So congrats. And you did it pretty much right about, you know, right around the time that you were shooting for, correct?
Yeah, my personal goal was under 125 hours. It's kind of modeling that based on a good friend of mine running Cocodona 250. Comparable miles, a little bit less elevation, but relatively comparable. And I wanted some sort of benchmark to just, you know, base my personal timing objective off of. Obviously, I went after the FKT. Cal's mark of 4 days, 2 hours and 49 minutes is ridiculously fast. Mm-hmm. I beat my personal time by over 6 hours. I finished in 118 hours, 4 days, 22 hours and 48 minutes. So I was very happy with that time.
Nice. And give us kind of the stats, the rundown. I mean, I don't want to compare it to Cocodona, because Cocodona is very, very difficult, but also they had aid stations. So let's just throw aid that stations. In there.
Yeah. They're totally different objectives entirely.
Yeah.
Different.
So first, kind of run us down of the stats of this section of the Appalachian Trail through Pennsylvania, with the vert, the mileage, all that.
Yeah. So from Delaware Water Gap, the New Jersey state line, to the Maryland border, Mason-Dixon line, it is 230 miles and 31,000 vertical feet. And the northern half of the trail from Delaware Water Gap south of Duncannon through Cove Mountain, essentially just north of the farmland stretch in the Cumberland Valley. It is a lot of rock. I mean, there's good stretches of trail where you have nice running and not much rock, but it's just a ton of rock and it absolutely trashes your feet. And that was something that I dealt with back in February. I went through that entire stretch, 115 miles of it. And I had to start this new objective repeating what I did 3 months prior, which was in itself a huge mental hurdle that I knew I needed to work through. And when I was out there, it was something that I really struggled with. I'm like, why am I out here doing this? This is just brutal.
Yeah. And now before we get to that, because I want to ask that question, like, how do you get through the why thing? So first, can you also break down what does it mean to be unsupported? Because I think when you first learn about that, that it's just incredibly impressive. So what are the rules about being unsupported? And some of those rules are kind of depends on how you want to interpret them. So how do you interpret unsupported and what rules did you follow along the way?
Yeah, so carried all of my own gear, all of my food and means to treat water, filter water along the way. I had the ability to fill up water at water sources that were natural on the trail. So the first real town that I went through, Duncannon, I could not go into the Quick Mart, the Sunoco gas station. I could not buy food. I could not fill up on water. My personal style of unsupported is I also don't even throw out my trash. So I ended up carrying 5.9 ounces of trash till the very end of it, which is, you know, not that much, but that's just how I go about it. Bob Stewart does kind of the same thing. So when he said that's what he did, I'm like, that's the way to do it.
So I just want to repeat that. So that means from the very beginning, you had to carry all of your food that you thought you were going to need for the next 4 days, and better hope that it all looks appetizing and better hope that it doesn't take you 6 days because you don't have enough food for 6 days. You only have enough for four, but you're carrying all of your sustenance for a 4 day effort, and not just a 4 day effort, but 4 very long days because you're running into the evening, you're getting up early, and you want to cover over 200 miles. So it's not like you can get away with a small amount of calories.
Yeah. Calories wise, I had 20,715 calories and I ate 17,595. So running average, it was 148 for the entire time I was spent. But yeah, so going back to the water, that was a huge aspect. This time of the year, we hadn't had rain for 3 weeks. So water sources that were running back in February, they were dry. So I had to drop off the ridge significantly farther this go around just to get water. And the first day and a half, it was the warmest it's been, at least for me, this year. So I wasn't acclimated to the heat whatsoever. And to your point, hoping your food is appealing to eat, it was not. I've really struggled. I literally everything that I ate that first day and a half, I had to put water into my mouth as I was chewing just to turn it into slurry so I could choke it down. I was running low on energy. I could feel myself just depleted. And I made a mistake early on. I did not drop off the ridge at the first water source 10 miles in because I had extra. I was overhydrated to start, but I underestimated how much the heat would dehydrate me. And I was pretty dehydrated till I got to Leroy Smith's shelter where I had to drop 250 feet off the trail, 0.8 miles just to get down to a slow trickling spring.
Yeah.
That was swarming with mosquitoes.
Ew.
Yeah.
And I think that's another part of this, the Pennsylvania section of the Appalachian Trail, is that a lot of it is on ridgeline. Like you can follow ridgeline for a really long time and it does not dip into creeks frequently. So to your point, you're getting down off of the ridgeline several times, knowing you have over 200 miles ahead of you, and now you're going to add more miles.
Yep. That was wearing on me mentally the first day. So yeah, the only time I got water at a non-natural source was in Boiling Springs. There's a water spigot there that is recognized as a accessible water source for anyone that's doing an unsupported style trail objective. So when you have public available water spigots like that, that are available year round, essentially, well, that one went during winter, but during the time of the year that a water source like that would be turned on, you can use that sort of thing, but I can't buy a water at the gas station.
Right. So unsupported means completely unsupported for you. And even though, you know, you didn't hit the unsupported FKT, that was your goal. So that means that, you know, you followed all the unsupported rules the entire time. Now, just a couple other stats. Can you tell us what was your average pace? Because when you're doing average pace, you're of course including all of your sleep time. But what did you end up with for an average pace?
Honestly, that's one thing I didn't really dig into a whole lot. You know, when I was out there, it was generally in the 22 minute per mile pace. I had creeped up to the 24 minute per mile pace. Mm-hmm. Ironically, the last day, coming out of Boiling Springs, I had slept at kind of a stealth spot that was just south of the turnpike. And I was in really rough shape. I was beat down mentally and stuff was just not functioning well for me. And although it was flat, I wasn't moving very quickly. And then I got to Boiling Springs and I realized we'll get to this a little bit later, but when I emptied all the water out of my bivy, I realized I had my cell phone in my bivy still, and I dumped all the water onto my cell phone. So spent a lot of time troubleshooting how to get my cell phone dry. And I was doing that in Boiling Springs, just trying to kind of recollect myself before I got out of the farmland and back into the more mountainous terrain. But yeah, my pace took a big hit then. That first 10 miles of the day, my pace was 24 and a half minute per mile. But once I got back on trail and was just rearing to finish, I was consistently pulling. I was running a lot at this point. I was just really feeling it. I was hitting some 15, 16 minute per miles, and I dropped my pace pretty significantly across 10 miles down to 21 minute per mile.
And yeah.
Over that last 61 miles, I think I averaged just over 22 to finish it.
Jordan, do you think you could have dropped your pace much more if you didn't put out so many amazing Instagram posts throughout the effort?
It's something I've thought about, how much time I spend doing that, but really I don't spend much time. The only time I ever like wasted time was at camp, and at those points in time I was sitting, and I kind of categorize that as rest still. So I'm never like not doing something beneficial towards the objective when I'm doing the Insta stories.
I think it's amazing because we can't, you know, nobody can really even cheer you on or anything in person. So, but it, you know, gives anybody that's watching what you're doing kind of makes it feel like we're there a little bit. So I was totally kidding with the pace days.
I know.
You do a great job about it though. Keeping it, like, everybody up to date and following along, which is awesome.
I loved watching it, and I did hear about, it was funny watching you after you dumped all that water on your phone, because your first video was very muffled and you, like, throughout the day, it just got clearer and clearer that, like, your microphone must have dried off, and it was like, oh, he's good now. It was very cool to follow you along. So for anybody who doesn't follow you and they want to follow you, can you drop in real quick how to follow you? Because I'm sure this is not going to be your last adventure.
No. Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram, Jordan Gets Outside, or you can search my name, Jordan Copenhaver.
Awesome. And you do some guest spots every once in a while on your wife's YouTube channel, right? Did you do a guest one for this?
No, I haven't done any since when I was in the Smoky Mountains last year. But
okay.
We'll soon be on trail together, and I'll be with her for 10 days or so on the Appalachian Trail. And I'll probably be making some appearances.
Awesome. She's got plenty of followers, but what's her YouTube channel anyway?
It's Alicia in the Mountains.
Yeah, I follow it. She has great gear recommendations. So if anybody wants some good gear recommendations, go follow Alicia in the Mountains. Okay. Eric, you go next. I'll keep going with my questions.
Yeah, you need to relax, Grace. No, I'm kidding. All right, let's go with what Marisa asked. Did you come upon any trail magic, and are you technically allowed to utilize that if you are unsupported?
Yeah, so at Peters Mountain Road, which is, I think it's probably like 6 or 7 miles north of Duncannon, I was moving pretty quick through the parking lot, and I had my headphones in at the time. I was just really feeling it that particular day. And some dude caught my attention. He did some sort of gesture, and I turned and looked, and I took my headphones out, and he was flashing a candy bar at me. And he was asking what I was doing, and I explained to him that I, you know, appreciated his offer, but I couldn't take his food. And he was older, but seemed to understand what I was doing and was very pumped for me.
So
That was kind of it, though. I came across some water stashes where I, you know, otherwise could have filled up my water on the ridges. A lot of trail angels will put out water bottles up on the ridgetops in northern PA, and I came across the cooler that was potentially filled with stuff. I didn't even take time to look, though.
Yeah, so Marisa, essentially to answer your question, no, you cannot take advantage of trail magic if it is unsupported. If it is self-supported, you are allowed to take trail magic or help. You can take help that is available to anybody else who would also be on the trail. That, as long as it's available to every other hiker, then you're allowed to take it. So that would be the self-supported or the supported fashion. Both allow for that.
But unsupported, you can't pick up a Snickers bar that was on the ground, the forest floor, right?
If you find it. Yeah. I don't really know. I would probably lean towards leaving it be.
Yeah, your best guess is to leave it be, but that's different than somebody offering it to you for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You can forage in unsupported fashion. You can forage for, like, if there's berries or something like that, if you're in an unsupported fashion,
Marisa just said, what if it grew there? Correct.
If the Snickers grew out of the ground.
I've seen a Snickers bush before. It's glorious. you want to pick all the Snickers you can off of the Snickers bush and stuff them in your sack and keep going.
That sounds really good.
So, I mean, I don't want to rush through your story, but I know things got really good, and that's my opinion of good, towards the end. When you started, you know, you pretty much made a one giant push at the end, but where did, you know, obviously it went a lot better than your first attempt, right? Would you agree with that?
The first 3 days, no, it didn't. I was slower actually. That was kind of planned too. I ran a bunch the first time, and I was planning on not running until the end this go around, because I had so much wear and tear on my body in those rocky sections. So I was about 15 minutes slower through the halfway point. And mentally, I was in rough shape. Like I said earlier, getting through those 115 miles of brutal rock again after having just done it 3 months ago really took a toll on me that I don't think I was able to process in advance how challenging mentally that would be to do that again. I was also dealing with a lot of anxiety. After Lyme disease 2 years ago, developed health anxiety, and sometimes it causes symptoms. And for the last 2 months, I've had some pretty severe symptoms that made me question if I'm healthy enough to even be out doing this. but I believed that it's all personal self-induced stress that's causing it. So I trusted my gut and I went out, but day three, I pretty much kind of had a panic attack on trail, and I really questioned again in the moment at 9 p.m. at night after being incredibly exhausted if I should even be doing this. And I thought to myself, how sad would it be if I let my mind take over and control me and get me off trail? So I had pretty much dug the deepest I ever needed to and just pushed through that and believed in my plan that I had developed before going out there. And somehow I didn't experience any symptoms for the last 3 days. It's like I just conquered that inner demon in me.
Now, when you say you had a panic attack at 9 p.m., I think you said 9 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
One night. You don't have to explain more than you want to, but I'm curious what exactly happened. Like, were you right on the edge of just saying, F it, I'm done? Or was it more just like anger and you wanted to scream? Or what exactly was it for you?
I've been dealing with heart palpitations, and being a critical component of your body that, for an endurance athlete is about as important as it gets.
Yeah.
It freaks me out when I feel it. And I was feeling it a lot that third day. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment in time where it really ramped up around 9 p.m. that night. And it really freaked me out. I'm in the middle of the woods. I'm exhausted and just trying to figure out what I should be doing, what is in my best interest long-term.
Right. So you figured out that your best interest was to basically, keep going. Don't even think about it and just keep going, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I've been dealing with it for a few months now and off and on for the past couple of years, but I knew it was going to happen at some point in time. At least I thought it would. And I anticipated that, and I came up with a plan of how I should react when it happens. And I went back to that plan and I stuck to it and pretty much worked through it.
So one last question, I promise, yeah. Grace. Have you had any of those heart palpitations since you've finished?
Just once, which is like hardly at all in comparison.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about that. So tell us about that plan, how you work through it, because I don't even think, like, I know there's other people out there who are battling the same kind of stuff. So if you don't mind sharing more, tell us about what's your plan? How do you get through it? Like, and I think that's smart is when you're of sound mind and everything's great and you're at home, like that's when you create the plan, right?
Yeah.
So that when you're out there and you're maybe under fueled or dehydrated or whatever, that's when you execute on the, and you just have to trust that what you came up with was probably good. And so I don't know if that's how it went down for you, but I think that's a great strategy is to create those plans. What am I going to do when X, Y, and Z happen? How am I going to work through that? Do you mind telling us what your plan is and how that went down?
Yeah, I know for me, stress is the trigger. And I knew I had been for the 3 days leading up to that, stressing about just how many miles I needed to do each day to finish this trail and the amount of mm-hmm. time that I had allotted. And I knew that was weighing on me. And knowing that stress is the trigger for me, I knew I needed to rid myself of those thoughts. So I pretty much reframed my mindset to just, I'm out here. I need to be present in the moment. I can't be thinking about the miles to come later tonight, the miles to come the next couple of days. I mean, it's the same thing in a 100-mile race. You can't focus on mile 90 when you're only at mile 10 or whatever distance you're doing. You need to stay present. So I knew that was what I needed to focus on, just being totally present in the moment and not thinking about anything beyond that. I have a lot of things that work for me. I'm a very spiritual type person. I connect with things in nature. I see things as signs and I kind of latch on to those. And I mean, in general, I felt like I got my confidence back as soon as I pushed through that. And I just really latched on to that feeling of defeating it and stayed focused on that. I wasn't really thinking about what was happening earlier that day and the day prior, when I was really struggling with those sorts of health feelings.
Yeah. I think it's really hard when you're out there and, you know, just a reminder, you know, self-supported, unsupported, these efforts, you know, you're by yourself, you're with your own thoughts for a very long time. And it's so hard to stay in the moment and not think about, I still have 2 days of this dealing with this niggle in my knee, or I still have 100 miles to go. Like, that, it's just such a daunting thought. And you talked a little bit before about, you know, trying to figure out, thinking about why am I doing this? And I think that's a hard thing as I'm out there. I'm like, I'm not saving the world. I'm not like, why am I actually doing this? You don't even get a medal when you're done. You don't even get a t-shirt. You know, you get to the end and it's like, well, I can, you know, I can stop at the gas station and, and get a cupcake or something, but there's no, you really have to get this great sense of why. And I'm sure that's different for everybody, but I think it is hard to do that when you're out there just trying to filter water, choke down some more maple syrup, find the Snickers tree. Like, how do you work through the whole process of why am I out here? Because that question just pops up over and over.
It does pop up over and over. And normally I have a real strong why for every objective that I go out for. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the situation was really this time, but I felt like at a total loss as to why I was even doing what I was doing the last 2.5 days. I was just so mentally and emotionally depleted. I couldn't even figure out why the hell I was doing what I was doing. But the strangest thing is I never wanted to stop either. I didn't ever have this feeling of, I just want to be done. Okay. I just felt like I wanted to keep moving and moving as quickly as possible, but I had no idea why. It's something I never experienced before. I always have a real strong why, and this time I didn't.
I don't know. It's a weird experience when you're out there and you're trying to figure all of that out. So I appreciate you sharing. I know I'm headed into that soon. And I know others are going through that now. I don't know what the answer is yet.
I just the beauty of it. You don't have to have an answer, and your why can constantly change too while you're out there. There's nothing set in stone that says why you're doing this whole FKT stays consistent throughout that effort either.
Yeah.
I think.
I agree. And I think that I've heard people say, you know, you got to figure out your why. And I do think that sometimes you don't have to have a why. I think that you can go out there and just say, oh, why not? And that can be enough. It doesn't have to be some grander thing. I also think that having a strong why can be very powerful too. And it can change. And I think it can change, you know, in a matter of 10 minutes within a race or whatever that is. But it's, you know, the long endurance events truly are a whole lot of mental toughness. And so, I appreciate the conversation around it. And Marisa is absolutely right. There's so much magic in the misery. There absolutely is.
Yeah.
Can't explain it, but it's
there. Yeah, I think really my why was more so I wanted the experience. And to me, the experience involved doing the entire stretch of the PAAT. Mm-hmm. And I think for that reason, I didn't have this like definitive why. It was just a broad experience, and the experience you can't really define in advance. It just, it ends up being what it is.
Yeah.
So Anthony Arthur is asking, would you consider doing it again? Or, and I'll add in, or do you feel completely at peace with completing, slaying that monster? And, you know, you did what you set out to do. It took you 2 tries. Is there something, you know, do you look to go different and different challenge next? Or do you think you see yourself back on this course again?
I don't know when, but I'll be shocked if I don't do it again.
Wow.
I'll say it's not going to be my next objective. I've shared with you guys, running Cocodona 250 next May. So
Yeah. That's
kind of my focus in the, you know, next year. But beyond that, there's some other trails that I'm really interested in. I'm not going to be breaking an FKT, but I'd like to get on the long trail in Vermont. Mm-hmm. And there's some other regional trails that I want to check out. But I don't know, something about the PAAT, it's in my heart, and I'm highly likely to go after it again. And there's stuff that I'll do different.
Nice. That's the beauty of it. You can figure out, you can fine tune it as you go.
Yep.
So
I'm going to need a break from the rocks though.
Yeah.
I don't know how you went after them so quickly after the first attempt. That's a long section to mentally know that you got to get through before things might get easier, you know? Yeah.
My feet were in such rough shape. I have no idea how I walked on them. Like, I was done. And when I got out of the car, when I got home, I practically fell over. If Alicia wasn't near me, I would have fallen. Like, I couldn't walk, but I somehow was moving and running on those feet that were not broken, but they may as well have been. My ankles and feet were so incredibly swollen.
How are they today? I mean, blister.
They're back to normal.
Yeah. No lost toenails or anything?
Nope. I got a few blisters in my right foot, which for me is unheard of. I don't ever get blisters, but I did this time. And I felt these weird sensations in that foot. And I took my shoes off. I'm like, oh, that's what a blister feels like when it's starting. I didn't know what it was. I thought there was just like leaves in my shoes or something.
Was there any hallucination stories, or you stay pretty sane?
I'd say no hallucinations. However, I was certainly bouncing off of the trails south of Caledonia State Park.
Mm-hmm.
I literally was bouncing off of the mountain laurel. I was falling asleep as I was going, and I was trying everything in my book. I was singing, I was laughing, I was yelling. You're probably going to laugh about this, but I like to pet the pine trees when I go by them because they're so soft. I feel like, you know, it's how I connect to the outdoors. I was petting every freaking tree that I walked by. I was just trying to stay awake, and I could not. I was just falling asleep, and finally sat down on a log. I had my last quantum energy square that has caffeine in it, and shoved in as much food as possible. Hydrated myself, and that did the trick. I wouldn't say I felt great the rest of the night, but from 2 a.m. until sunrise, I at least had enough energy to stay focused. And fortunately, I did, because I got in some real technical wet rock that I probably would have taken my first fall. Mm. Yeah, so I didn't fall the entire time.
No broken poles this time, right?
Yeah, no broken poles. Makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does. And it's the, can I just say this too? Like, the wet technical trail, it's not just like, it's so easy to just step on a rock and then your foot slides forward, or you'll somehow like end up underneath a rock. Like, man,
yeah.
The trails are just so rocky in Pennsylvania. My advice, don't head to the mid-state, because I don't think that's going to help any if you go there.
Jordan, now, go ahead, Grace.
I still got so many questions. But let's go over to Marisa. She asked, did you see any wildlife? Tell us about what you saw.
I saw a lot of deer. I saw two black snakes, maybe a third right near Pulpit Rock. I saw five porcupines. Wow. I saw some rabbits. And
how many? This is going to be my next question, so I'm going to throw it in here. How many humans did you see in your 4 days, roughly, ballpark?
There came in chunks because through hikers are starting to come through. So right. The first day I saw a chunk of maybe 20, and then there was a break, and then maybe 20 more day three, and then not too many, and then a little bit less, maybe 10 the last day.
Oh, enough though that it kind of takes your mind off the monotony of being alone, I guess.
Yeah. Some,
right.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, anybody who's watching the live stream, so just a reminder, you can join in on the live chat through the YouTubes and through the Facebooks if you would like to. We're always on live 7:30 every Monday. And if you're joining us live, then you will see that you have changed your name to Jordan Whipsnake Copenhafer. And I don't know that you had that nickname before. I don't think so. So can you tell us about, well, I shouldn't say nickname, trail name, right? So can you tell us about your trail name, how you got it? What does it mean?
Yeah, the easiest explanation is once this is over, Google Whipsnake Steve Climber. It's, I don't know if parody video is the best description for it, but it's a very funny video with a guy wearing the French wedge, and he's got a backpack that is probably about 10 to 15 feet tall. And it whips around like a snake. So my very first backcountry snowboarding trip, which was also my first like overnight trip, I was up at Tuckerman Ravine in New Hampshire, and I didn't have all the right gear to go overnight. So I had an 18-liter Dakayan backpack, snowboard pack. So I had my solid snowboard strapped to that, and I had a very large Coleman sleeping bag bungee corded to the snowboard, and I had other gear strapped to the snowboard in a trash bag on top, and it extended probably 4 feet above my head and looked absolutely absurd. So for the longest time, Alicia was not a huge fan of my prior trail name, Snack Break, and I lost interest in it too because I no longer break to snack, so it didn't really fit me. Mm-hmm. And I adopted this new trail name about a month and a half ago.
Nice. I like it. That's a good story. I am definitely watching this video, Whipsnake Steve Climber. I can already see the screenshot of it, and that's hilarious.
Yes.
Now, Arthur had always asked start and end weight of your pack. And can you give us your weight, no food, no water, weight with food, with water, you know, all the stats of weight.
Yeah. My base weight was 12.4 pounds. So that's without food and without water. Mm-hmm. And I went out with a total weight of 25.5 pounds, but I ended up adding another liter of water to it. So it got even heavier than that. My ending weight, honestly, I was so exhausted, I didn't even weigh it. I did all my food calculations today to see how many calories I still had left. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't all the way down to the base weight, but I was pretty close.
Yeah, that is super lightweight.
It was a lot lighter. I mean, I was able to easily run again, even, you know, over 200 miles in, I was still running, and just having the pack weight down lower made the difference.
What are some of the things that you did to reduce your pack weight?
All my gear is about as light as possible, and I pretty much only carry what I know I will need. There's only two things that I did not use during the time I was out there. And one of them I kind of used. So I could have gotten away with only one power bank. I had two. Mm-hmm. And I did not wear my down booties. There was two nights where I could have, but I didn't bother, and I didn't ultimately need them. And my feet needed to breathe anyway.
That's one of Alicia's suggestions. I bought the down booties that she suggested in her YouTube video, and I love them. And I'm probably going to bring mine anyway. Just
yeah. They're light, right?
Yeah, they're super light. It's like, that's a little bit of a luxury item, I think, but probably worth the wait.
And then food choices are equally important. You need food that's high calories per ounce. That way you can, you know, fuel yourself with as minimal weight as possible.
What are some of those? What did you use?
So I had a lot of different types of Lara bars, different types of trail mix. I had granola, beef sticks, fruit snacks, Snickers, Reese's, Bobos, different types of Bobos. I had 20 different types of food, and I didn't get sick of it until the very last day, the last morning when I was filtering water. I'm like, I don't want to eat any of this. And I'm like, I need to eat.
Oh, nice. So before we get off of talking about the AT through PA, I do have to mention that the Mr. Bob Stewart, and I asked him if it was okay to mention this, he is going after the FKT, the same route you took, in hoping June 8th. That is barring that the weather is, that the 4-day window of weather looks nice. So I know you talked to him quite a bit. You guys are friends. So it should be interesting to see what he does in the next
month.
Yeah. Is he going? He's going unsupported too.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't do it any other way.
Yeah.
You know, he was on the show. He has a homemade pack.
I remember that thing. That thing was awesome.
Yeah, his last trail he was on, he did hurt himself a little bit or something with his leg, but he's all healed up now by the sounds of it. So that should be a good show.
Yeah, he told me about it last week, and I'm super excited to follow.
Yeah, same here.
He's going to do really well.
Yeah, we'll see what he learns.
He says he does not like rock all that much. So
that's a challenging place to be if you don't like rocks.
He'll get through it though. I have confidence in him.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm headed to, I'm like, now that I'm done with Canyon Man 100, it's starting to sink in that I decided to head to the Horseshoe Trail later this month. So I'm headed to do the Horseshoe Trail, start to finish 145 miles. And last year I made it to about mile 90. What advice do you have for me as I head into, similar to you, like it's a second attempt?
Yeah. You got to find a way to forget about the fact that you did it already. You need to come up with a way to make it fresh and exciting in your head. And it's got to be personal to you. That's the one thing that I struggled with. I game planned for it, but it didn't work as well as I hoped. You know, it's going to be a different experience. The weather is going to be different. The trail is going to look different. So just got to approach it with a fresh mindset.
Okay. I did not have that in mind. And so I'm really glad that you said that. That wasn't even in my head to really consider, like, I've been here before. And how do I make that first 90 miles exciting and interesting? Because 90 miles is a long ways to go. And just think about how I've already been there.
Yeah. Maybe it won't impact you as much as it did me, but it's something I would certainly account for.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. I hadn't thought about it before, so I appreciate it. All right. So I'm gonna close off my questions. I think my questions are complete. My questions are complete, Eric. My questions are complete. I rest.
Jordan, you're awesome, man. We don't have you on just because we can't find any other guests. We love your story. For you to go back and do that so fast, attempt it so fast after you didn't complete it, blows my mind. For one, I think I would need more of a break. But then again, I respect the how fast you did want to go at, like without, mm-hmm. you don't want to go over too much and just do it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I sure hope you're proud of yourself, because it's an amazing track.
Yep. I am. I mean, I kind of pride myself in running outdoors in all sorts of challenging weather, snow, rain, whatever it may be. When I got to the Cumberland Valley, I was faced with the choice of setting up camp in the woods or dropping into the farmland stretch, which I knew would be exposed with that wind and rain. Yeah. And I made the decision to stop. I was filtering water. I was soaking wet. I was shivering. And I'm like, this is freaking stupid. I need to get in my bivy and warm up. This is not safe. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I made that decision, I felt disappointed in myself. So I changed my mind and I kept on going. And I was in the farmland stretch and it's very exposed. And I was running at this point in time and I still could not stay warm. And it was the most vulnerable and exposed I've ever felt in the outdoors. Granted, it wasn't the worst weather, but with mm-hmm. my body being so fatigued and I'm naturally running colder than I normally would be, mm-hmm. I was not in a safe spot. And it really challenged me in all three aspects, physically, mentally, and emotionally, to work through that. And it's those experiences that you're faced with during an objective like this that makes the overall experience that deep and that rewarding. And you just can't get that unless you push yourself to that degree. I ultimately made the smart decision to stop and set up camp, you know, just south of the turnpike, and I got warm. And then 10 minutes later, I realized my bivy's leaking and all my gear that shouldn't be getting wet is getting wet. And that's now messing with me mentally. But you know what? Got through it and here I am.
Nice. Oh, all right. Well, yeah. I think we better wrap it up, Grace.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you sharing. I think this is why we like having you on, Jordan, is because you talk about the mental aspect, the emotional aspect, the physical aspect, the spiritual aspect, like all the different sides of this crazy sport that we do. So I really appreciate you coming on again. We can't wait to have you on again. very cool. What are your plans this weekend, Jordan?
This weekend I am doing trail work in your stretch of your next attempt from French Creek Elementary to Route 100. So Big Woods Running Club, we adopted stretch of the Horseshoe Trail. So me and some others are going to be working on the trail, making it nice for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate last time I was out there with Marisa, the blazes looked really good. And that was where we stopped. So I have not been to that section yet. Can't wait to see it. Thanks for all the trail work. Appreciate it. Eric, how about you? What are you up to this weekend?
I'm living through my kids, Grace. I've kind of went through this, but Lauren mm-hmm. has a district track meet on Saturday, which she should, fingers crossed, she should qualify for states, which is huge as a freshman. She's already run. So the way it works, real quick, for those that don't know, is to qualify for states, you have to run the qualifying time at the district meet, only the district meet. So everything throughout the rest of the season doesn't really matter, which is kind of interesting to me, because mm-hmm. the district meet might be a torrential downpour with 50 mile an hour headwinds.
Right.
Track. It might be 100 degrees, but it's the same for everybody there. Like they, so, but anyway, she should have no problem. She should be able to qualify for the 3200, which is the 8 loops around the track, 2 miles, and go to states in Shippensburg in 2 weeks, which is exciting for a high school girl. So,
yeah.
That'll be my Saturday. Sunday, I'm not really sure. Hopefully get a run in.
Fantastic. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Super exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I am going to be sweeping at the Conestoga Crusher 10K. That's one of Jason Logue's races through Run PA. So I'm excited to go sweep a little bit. I really love it. It is one of the Ooh, it might be the most beautiful section of the Conestoga Trail, which I love. I haven't been to the Stoga in a little bit, so I'm happy to sweep for him. And just generally getting ready for all the things. I've been already kind of packing, sifting through all of my gear, making sure I'm doing last minute orders for things that I'll need for the horseshoe. I have other races that are coming up this summer that I like to help with, volunteering for On the Rocks Trail Run. And camp is coming up, Slopeside Summer Party that I race direct. So there's a lot of planning is going on right now, and it's been super fun.
Nice. I forgot the Chief Watona Trail Challenge is this Sunday.
Yes.
Up this direction, but that's a huge family friendly event. Have yeah. amazing food at the end. John Johnson and Amy Johnson put it on. Mm-hmm. Long standing race, and we're gonna try to make it over to that.
Yeah, I mean, good people. If anybody can, and the registration I believe is still open for Chief Watona. You can still get into that race. So it's another good one to put on the list. I'd put those on the list. I'd put On the Rocks on the list. I'd put Slopeside on the list.
Put the Appalachian Trail through PA on the list. Why not?
Man, I don't know. We'll leave I'm going to leave that one to the experts. That one's not on my list, but I'm going to watch. I'm going to live vicariously through other people who can tackle those distances.
All right, let's shut her down. Jordan, thank you as always.
Thanks,
Jordan. You've been awesome. Keep being awesome.
Thanks, Grace, Eric. Thank you for being Grace. Marisa, thank you for asking all the questions on the YouTube channels.
And Anthony,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And for everybody else, tune in live Mondays, 7:30. Like the show, rate the show. Subscribe because it helps the algorithm monster.
Yeah.
And if you comment on things, it helps the algorithm monster. And also I have temporary tattoos and I have stickers and I have magnets. And if you shoot me a message plus $2, then I'll send you one of them. And we have other fun stuff that is coming up so that you can have all the swags.
Yeah. And if you poop, you get a sticker. So
that's a different set of stickers, but yeah,
something to think about though.
You get a sticker it is worth celebrating. That's all I'm saying.
All right, everyone. See you next week, 7:30.
Okay. See you. Bye.